Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
This should make you feel at home.
Country music ain't really my swag like this. Now my stepfather, absolutely.
Well, we'll dedicate this to him.
This for you, Cooter.
Is his name really Cooter?
That's his nickname, Cooter. C-U-D-A, Cooter.
There you go. All for Cooter. I must say, I loved him in Dukes of Hazzard.
Most country-ass dude I've ever met in my life, man.
Oh, my gosh. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to everyone. Come on in. Sit down. Have a seat. We're here. Lyrics here.
You.
BW. What the hell?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
But we know that gentleman right there. That is Steve Silva sitting in.
Hey, how's it all going?
And this is Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us today. Of course, we are streaming live to you from Orange County.
Yep, and if you're new to your Weekly Dose, our podcast is about having fun as we recap our past week and you light your day through laughter as we make you laugh. But you know, when we talk about the silly, awkward, and embarrassing things that we've done recently, you know, the things that connect us all and the things that make us all human, because laughter is the best medicine.
That's right, guys. To all of our listeners, old and new, we love it when you guys are a part of the show, so join the conversation with us by commenting on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Or you can also send a message via X or Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1.
Yep, you can also connect with us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And that's where we're at most of the time, is on Facebook, to be honest with you.
Yes, sir.
So we got a pretty interesting show today. We got a Thomas Jefferson expert coming in a little bit later on. And then I've got some for the guys. Are these games real or not?
Okay.
And also, I don't know how bad this is going to go. I think this is going to be bad radio, but or bad podcast. But it's words that are hard to pronounce.
We will see how that goes.
Yeah, these are like the hardest words to pronounce in the English language, basically, is what it is. So we'll see. And then we got What's News a little bit later on. And, of course, the theme song for today was Future Ex-Wife. Believe it or not, that was by Bret Michaels.
So is it, you said something, is it really, is it your ex-spouse day?
Yeah.
So what the hell are you supposed to do for your ex-spouse on ex-spouse day?
Well, you know,
I've never heard of this shit, nor have I ever celebrated it. Now, yeah, no, I've never, no, I can't condone celebrating any ex-spouse.
All right, well, let's find out. So let's see here. We're going to go to our segment thing that I normally go to. And for this, you know what, let's do a little bit of a dialing music here. So today,
thank you for listening as we look up what ex-spouse day really means here on your Weekly Dose podcast.
Let's see here, Jefferson Day. Okay, so it'll be, is it tomorrow?
If you have ever celebrated your week, if you have really ever celebrated your ex-spouse on this day, send us an email. Let us know exactly what you did and if it was something petty. Because it sounds like it's something you should do petty towards your ex-spouse. It don't sound like something you should actually send them something. Like, yeah, I'm going to do something really petty. Like, buy a whole bunch of pizzas and send them to your house on your credit card.
So, National Ex-Spouse Day.
Sounds like the anti-Valentine's Day.
So, okay.
Okay, so ex-spouse day encourages those who have dissolved their marriage to forgive their former spouse and move beyond any anger or bitterness that may remain.
Why?
And even those that do aren't free from angst or regrets.
No.
That's what it's all about.
They're your ex for a reason. No, I get along with I get along with most of my exes. I'm a good dude, and I like to get along. So I pretty much get along. But no, if I don't get along with my ex-spouse, it's no sweat off my back. I don't really give a shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not missing.
Well, I think it all depends too on how you break up. You know, it's really funny. I remember in college, a psychology professor said, "The person you want to marry is the best person you want to divorce."
Agree, because then they're not going to be out to hurt you. Then,
exactly.
Yeah, I agree to that.
Exactly.
Okay, I get that.
You know.
I know, I do know spouses that have divorced, but they're really good friends, and they've even said, nah, we weren't meant to be together. We're better friends and better co-parents than we ever were.
And sometimes that just happens yeah. overall. Yeah, you know. I mean, you've been divorced twice.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, good. See, yeah. Nodding the head.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Whoa. Yeah.
Good for the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I was just thinking, you know, about relationships with direction. My first wife, we were together for 5 years or something, but we had a couple of kids.
Which are your two daughters?
Yes. And I haven't seen her for a few years now, but I have seen her off and on for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fine around each other.
Hmm?
You know, we don't talk
we're not friends.
Well, you remember
that.
you did this? And we're just like.
Yeah. It is what it is at this point.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the ex-spouse thing is letting it. Go whatever many years
this
or whatever.
This is literally the first time I've ever heard about that day, though.
Me too.
It was a day.
Me too. But I mean, it's like, how did you break up? Was it bitter? Was it this? Was it that? You know, because I mean, granted, I think there are some situations where you can't forgive that person.
No.
You know,
there's some things that you just can't come back from. Like when you said this was a day, again, first thought in my mind, oh. It's a petty day. You know, you just take a day to be petty. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to remind your dumb ass you shouldn't have fucked with me every year on this day. You know what I'm saying? That's what comes to mind. So, that's interesting, though. I can see how it would be time to make amends, let it go.
Exactly. You know,
sometimes you can't, man. It's just too far.
No, and I've seen it, too, where I've had other friends where the spouse, whether it be male or female, has had certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a good example. So, a band I was in, our leader, who was the drummer, his wife has been an alcoholic for the majority of their marriage. Now, he knew this going in.
And he still went in.
And he still went in.
Yep.
And he and I had really deep, serious talks. Now that he's in his 60s, he's had enough. And now it's time to move on. Now, for the first time, she's getting help.
Yeah, because now she knows he's serious about leaving. Now she's
exactly.
He wasn't going nowhere. That's why she never got the help. He was never. When he made it clear, I'm leaving. No, then she knows. Okay, now it's time. But it might be too late now because he's dealt with it for how long?
35 years.
Yeah, man. It's sometimes it's just too much.
Yeah, and he's absolutely done now.
Yep.
You know, it's caused problems.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, well, dude, why didn't you do anything before? And he just flat out admitted to me, you know, that he just didn't have the balls to do it.
Do you have kids?
One.
Is the kid out the house now?
No, I think it's with him, and he's in his early 20s.
Oh, but he's a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so now, yeah.
Yeah.
But most times in situations like that, the guy or the woman ends up staying because the child is still in the house. But once that child is done or old enough, then it's a like it's wraps out at it's lights out at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So when you have a problem like that, I can see leaving. Or I've known people to where the spouse has had a gambling issue.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. I've seen.
Yeah, you know, that's. Yeah. You know,
I lived in Vegas. I saw that firsthand. That was ugly.
Yeah. You know, or you made a promise and you broke that promise. And I don't mean I'm going to buy you a diamond ring kind of a thing. But where you go into the marriage knowing, hey, we're going to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then find out that has had a operation to fix that.
Oh. that's cold.
And they didn't tell you?
Yeah, that's cold. You can't do that.
To me, that's grounds for divorce right there.
Oh, 100%. Mm. 100%. Yeah, I'm leaving you. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
You know, you told me.
Well, if we've had conversations that we want to have children, then all of a sudden I'm finding out you're basically fixed and you cannot have kids, then no, there's nothing else for us to talk about. We're ex-spouses. We're not even going to be cool at that point because you deceived me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an outright deceit. Like, yeah, no, we're done. We're done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and I've seen that happen too. You know?
I'm petty. At that point, I'm like, fuck you, fuck your mama, fuck your dog, fuck your family. Like, I'm petty. I'm like, yeah, for real. Like, I try to turn the other cheek a lot. I really do. I try to be a good guy all the time. And it takes a lot for me to be like, all right, fuck you. But my people who know me know when I'm like, all right, I'm done with you, I'm scorched earth. I'm going to salt the earth so you can't grow shit on it afterwards. Then I'm going to burn that motherfucker and I'm going to bury all tight. Like, yeah, I'm not. I'm the wrong one. I'm petty, dog.
And send your cards and letters to your weekly dose one.
Like, for real, I'm petty as shit. I don't, yeah, you fuck me, then yeah, it's a wrap.
I can understand. I try to take the high road more times than not.
Yeah, oh yeah, I do
myself,
too.
But you know,
you can only get pushed so far.
Yeah, but I mean, I just cut ties with you. Period. I don't need to do anything else. I just cut the ties, you know. And I've been betrayed numerous times myself, especially in the music industry.
Oh man,
you know,
that's part of life in the entertainment industry, is getting betrayed.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is all these people have to do is be upfront with me.
Yes,
you know, whether, you know, I mean, I didn't care whether it's like saying we don't want to be big.
Yeah,
we don't want to be famous.
No, you're asking a lot, man. You're asking people to be upfront in business, and that's just not, especially, you know, out here in the entertainment, with the land of smoke and mirrors, it's just not possible.
Yeah.
Not,
you know,
everybody. At least,
and,
not
and,
everybody.
And if they came to me saying, look, we just want to be this local band that has a great following, I would have said, well, okay. I really would have. Instead of creating the drama of saying, well, we need a real lead guitar player. Well, what the hell have I been doing for the last 4 years?
Yeah, I feel you.
You know, that kind of bullshit.
I understand completely. I understand completely.
So, you know, and that's where I cut you off, you know.
Yeah, I feel you.
But there's been some, too, where enough water has gone under the bridge that, okay, cool. You know, I may not work with you.
It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I may not work with you. But
I understand.
I'm okay with you now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I just keep you at an arm's length.
So yeah. Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. So with that being said, let's catch up. All right, first of all, before we go on, I got to apologize to our listeners, and I got to apologize to you guys. I've been dealing with this freaking cough, nasal drip thing for the last 3 weeks.
Is it the heebie-jeebies?
I don't know what the hell it is.
The heebie-jeebies, I can't catch those. They don't have a test to test for the
heebie-jeebies.
They don't have a heebie-jeebie test. So.
Man.
But you know,
well, I'm glad you're in the corner then.
You know you got it. If you got it.
If you got the heebie-jeebies?
You know if you got the heebie-jeebies.
I know I had the cooties once.
That's bad.
Yeah.
But you evidently got rid of it.
But getting the cooties is good.
But, well, I got it. I got the cooties once a week.
It can't.
And if it was a good week, I got it 3 times a week.
Indeed.
So.
Indeed.
But so if I sound nasally or whatever, it's because I got snot up in my nose and I can't get it out.
So you're gonna talk like this.
Oh, then.
Oh.
I'm talking like Cindy Brady.
my boy in a soul one.
You know, with a lisp or something or whatever, you know. And then to boot, you know, it's like I'm gonna be coughing and I'm gonna be like Hackalong Cassidy here. Because I feel like I got smoker's cough.
It does sound a little bit like it too.
It does.
A little bit of sound like, oh,
it does. And I know this is going to sound gross or whatever, and I apologize to our listeners, but like, I will like have a hacking attack. And, you know, and then like either nothing will come up or like half the size of my fingernail. My pinky will come up. And like, it took all that just to get that out.
Hey, man. It had to come out.
You know? And I'm like, gee, when it, you know, give me something good. You know, something chunky that
something
I can.
Something worth me hawking my ass off.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? And look, made me look like a baseball player where it's like a big piece of snot shooting out of my mouth I can spit out. You know? And oh, God, it's horrible, man. And. Right now, I'm sucking on it. What am I
you
sucking
might
on?
I think it's funny, but it's not.
Wow, Steve. Reaching out there today, aren't we?
Very insightful. Very
help
insightful.
Me.
So I just want to apologize or whatever. So, you know, if I sound like that, or if you're here hacking in the background, is because I turned off my microphone and you can hear me through the other guys' microphones.
You good, brother. You good.
Like, here we go right now. I got to.
Y'all heard that? So disgusting.
Yeah, and it's deep too. You know,
it's coming from the soul.
It's coming from down the coming chest. You know, and I'm taking Mucimex or what? Yeah, Mucimex.
Yeah, that's the best shit to take.
Nothing.
I don't know, man. That's it. Might be. How long you been taking Mucimex?
Off and on for a week and a half.
Oh, yeah, it should have been broke that shit up then. I don't know.
Yeah, and yeah, so now my wife is kind of going.
Need the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. Or the cooties. I don't know. Or I'm kind of hoping it's the cooties.
Maybe it's a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Golf clap. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Very, very much. Well done. It's not a tumor. That's pretty good. That's
pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, so we'll start with you, Lurk. How was your week, bud?
It was good, man. We're finishing some stuff up for the live show that we got on May 4th. Getting the raffle ready for that. Getting the live show planned. We're actually, when I leave here, me and Chris were actually meeting at the venue so we can sign contracts for the show. So getting that done, man.
Contracts.
Getting that done. Fine tuning the setup. Fine tuning our sets, getting the lineup right, making sure we get everything situated. Gonna have like some people cooking food. We're gonna have a bar.
We're having soul food?
Soul food? Probably not, because I don't want people to get the itis. Don't nobody want to go to sleep at a comedy show. So good soul food with some alcohol and maybe some weed. Yeah, you're done after that. So now I want you to stay awake.
Oh, okay.
Give them Red Bull. But just getting that, just getting everything ready for the show. Got another project. We're about to start. We're about to go into pre-production for the short film. We're about to go into pre-production for that.
Nice.
Then the TV show, I'm about to pitch that. Sunday, Monday, I'm about to pitch that. So hopefully we can get some good looks with that. So just making moves and staying busy, baby.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
I can't
wait.
We need to get links up for our Facebook page for like the auction and stuff
forth. I will send you the links.
And then that way we can put that out also for the other listeners that we...
Yeah, I'll send you everything before I leave here today.
Cool. Awesome. So, Steve. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. Yeah.
God.
No, I.
See, it is like having BW here.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Without the hate.
The main thing I did.
He's good. It's BW without the hate, which is good.
All right. I watched the four movies of the Hunger Games.
Oh, wow.
You watched all four?
All four, yeah. Like,
oh, damn.
Right in a row.
I've seen the first three, but I can't remember much of them because it was so long ago. I read the books a long time ago, though.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
What about the last movie? Because I haven't seen that one.
It was cool. It's got a cool ending.
Okay. I might have to check it.
Yeah. Kind of a, yeah.
That's it?
But that, yeah. And, and it rained.
did you get any rain coming in today? Or
I haven't seen any yet, but the odds are high.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be slamming by this evening.
I thought it was supposed to be slamming by.
My black ass will be at home.
I thought it was gonna be slamming by tonight or last night rather.
Yeah, I don't do LA rain time. Like, I don't fuck around with that.
It's been weird here in Southern California. We've been having. beautiful weekdays.
And then the weekend sun comes and fucks
yeah,
up
yeah, and then all of a sudden we get these storms on the weekend and we can't do shit.
Yep, fucks up everything, man. Got a whole weekend planned out because it's sunny and beautiful all during the week. Then the weekend come and we get the bullshit that you see outside. We got the overcast.
Again, we're looking out the window. It's cloudy skies. It's major overcast.
It's dreary.
You know.
It is supposed to rain today.
Yeah,
it's
big time.
Supposed to, yeah.
Big time. So, because they said, because they said,
what's that saying? Great weather for ducks.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck.
Oh, he should know.
Right on.
Because he's a little waddler himself.
Oh,
yeah. So.
Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah.
You both seen The Matrix?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
with Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of it? I mean, was it like, whoa, or was it like, eh? What did you?
I think the first time I saw it, I thought it was a cool concept because it was very much an Alice in Wonderland type of concept. You know,
yeah, they
blue
were
pill, red pill.
That. Yeah.
You know,
the joint came out in 98, right?
I don't know. I can look it up.
Yeah, no. It was 98. Okay. I was in New York.
Well, anyway, I have tried three different times the last time high to watch that movie, and I just can't. It's like I'm just like, I don't know.
What is it about it?
It's too, like, enclosed. Like, it's right. It feels like everything is like you're crawling through a tunnel that's too small for you.
Huh.
To me, that's what it feels like to me. I don't know why. I love Keanu Reeves. I love Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah. You know, it's. But for some reason, that particular movie, it just won't. I know I can't get into it. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I had to watch it a couple of times to get to really understand it.
Well, yeah, it's.
And I'm going, oh, okay, you know, and you know, like I said, it's an Alice in Wonderland. You know, so it's a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, it's a very
apocalyptic.
Thank you. I'm having troubles today because my nose.
Jogger.
It sounded me making
it's,
like
it's
a
very
like a
dirty and dusty Alice in Wonderland.
Well,
it's
yeah,
like
because it's
I just didn't it didn't feel it.
Well, here because it's a I can't say the word.
Apocalyptic
type
it's
of
apocalyptic.
Film.
Apocalyptic.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
I say it. I sound like Mike Tyson. So it's that type of film. So it's set so far in the future because the machines have taken over, is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I know what it is. I'm not. You know.
Yeah.
I'm not
just
confused
can't get into
by it.
It.
I just
can't get into it.
The visuals. Just I can't keep watching it.
Mm-hmm.
There was another movie like that. That was far worse, though.
Little Women.
No, that the Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
I heard that was really good.
I cannot watch that.
That's not the musical, is it?
No.
This is Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper's in it.
Yeah,
he's a bipolar guy who doesn't want to take his medication.
And
after a while, I'm like, holy, you got to get away from this.
And isn't De Niro in it too, I think, or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I can't watch that. But there's just some things in some movies, and I don't necessarily understand why, but. But mostly, I'm really good with movies. I like a lot of different movies and stuff like that. It's just every once in a while, there's one that I just go...
Can't get it.
Yeah, it just doesn't resonate.
I dig it. It'd be like that sometimes. I understand.
Well, it's like me. You know, people kind of like, you know, you're talking about Silver Lining. You know, I'm like the same way with The Notebook. People say, hey, you want to come over and watch? No, thank you.
I've seen that joint. There's certain movies you'll watch. Well, okay, it's cool. And then you'll never watch again.
Yeah,
that was one of those for me. Like I saw that book, that fucking movie, because I was watching
the Notebook.
I was watching it with a girl, so I saw it then, and I was like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I'd never watch it again, but I understand.
Once again, I say no, thank you. That's an inside joke, my son too. So if he's listening, he's getting it. But there's just certain films where you kind of go, okay, that was entertaining for that moment.
Yeah, but I'm okay.
You know, and yeah.
It's like The Passion of the Christ. Like, I saw it once.
Yeah.
I will never see it again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it one time. I understood
that,
immediately.
You just remind me. I have a funny story about that. It went down to Newport, and it was playing. And while we were walking to the theater, just outside the theater, there was a guy with a sign that said, "Why does a movie about Christ include thieves, prostitutes and something else. There was some things like that, you know, like he was like, you know, it's awful that they would film it. And he suddenly realized, well, that's who he hung out with a lot.
Yeah, that was
and
the crew.
According
right?
to the book, you know, that's who he spent time with.
So. Yeah. Well, it's like I think one of my favorite jokes, or whatever, is Robin Williams when he talked about years ago, The Last Temptation of Christ with William Dafoe.
I remember watching that when I was younger. And I didn't realize what the big hoo-ha was about till I got older. And I was like, okay. Now I get it.
So, and Robin talks about how these people were outside picketing for the movie. That, you know, on that this is a wrong movie and this and that. And going, this movie is not real. Hey, come here, Sparky. No movie's real.
No shit. Like, no
you
shit.
Know?
Really?
It's like.
Not a documentary, Woody.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Worried? Is it that easy to screw you up like that?
I mean, many crickets, but.
We argue over stupid shit.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
We argue over
we really do.
Stupid shit.
Absolutely.
Oh, so. There's a, you know, there's a sequel to The Passion of the Christ coming.
No.
The Passion of the Christ Resurrection, Chapter 1. It's coming out in 2025.
Really? Upcoming. Is Gibson directing it again?
Of course. It's written and directed by Mel Gibson. Anybody ever going to touch that? Jim Caviezel is playing Jesus again. It'll focus on the 3 days between his death and the resurrection.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Yep. Wow. That's crazy.
You know, we don't like to get too religious on the show, of course.
No, of course
but
not.
I think one of my favorite films.
Here we are, off the cliff.
Well, one of my favorite films, though, about that, though, and it was done back in the 70s, and it was a made-for-TV miniseries, and which is called Jesus of Nazareth. Hmm. And, I mean, it started during that time period. I mean, it was like Michael York was in it. Ernest Borgnine was in it.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
I mean, all these big. And it was the only film, from my understanding, that was done where they went not just to the different Christian leaders, but also to the Jewish community and said, how do you feel about this script? Is it correct? Is it not? Is it this? Is it that?
Oh, wow.
And every Easter, we watch it.
Oh, wow.
You know, because it's just, I think it's just done so well. Robert Powell played Jesus in it.
Gotcha.
And it just changed his life completely, too, in doing that role, in, you know, for that film. That's like one of my favorites, though.
Hmm.
You know, to watch it, and you can get it on DVD now, of course. And
indeed.
So, but yeah, I mean, as far as those type of films, yeah, that's my favorite.
My favorite. My mom watches the Ten Commandments every Easter.
Oh, really?
Every Easter. She started when she was younger with her parents when she was little. Uh-huh. Yeah, every Easter she's watching.
God has given me 15.
Ten commandments.
Mel Brooks, baby.
Oh, gotta love it.
Yeah, man.
What was it? One of my aunts posted on Facebook right around Easter, whatever, where it was a living Last Supper.
Oh, word.
You know, they kind of recreated it, but it was like supposed to be like the picture from, was it Da Vinci that did it or
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
So, and then I posted her the clip from History of the World Part 1. You know, where Da Vinci kind of comes in and says, no, this isn't going to work. Okay, everybody want to be in the picture? Get on the other side of the table.
Jesus, yes. I'm a little more serious. I'm not, you know, when I was young, I was raised in a very religious family, just the way it was. But we would go to Forest Lawn. The big cemetery in, I think it was in Glendale, Burbank, somewhere. There's like a real big one there.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And they had this theater. And there was like the screen was huge. It was like 40 feet long and, you know, 15, 20 feet high. And they had a full size, the whole thing filled up with The Last Supper, the painting. Word. And I was so in awe because the thing was massive.
Yeah, man.
So big. Those are funny, you know, I absolutely not religious now, but those things stick in your head when you, especially when you're a kid. Sometimes
when you're that
you
young
see
and you see something like that.
No,
it's imprinted.
Yeah,
that's
you always imprinted. Remember that stuff. But it was very impressive, very, very, very beautiful, as it were. And people would fill the theater.
Yeah, I really, actually want to take a trip to Rome just to see that type of architecture. Like, I want to go. I want to see the Basilica. I want to see Rome. I want to see. Like, I want to go over there and see all that stuff, man.
Yeah, before it's all gone.
Yeah, man, because eventually it will be gone. So I would like to get over there and see that type of architecture. Like, I would love to see that artwork.
That's cool. Yeah, we were talking about, you know, the whole thing with Mel Brooks, whatever. So I kind of pulled it up real quick for us. So let's see if I can say no thanks here and play this.
Before this night is over, one of you shall betray me 3 times.
No. Master, how can you feel that anyone here would betray you? You who we would follow even unto our death.
Yes. Does everybody want soup?
Please, we must talk. This may be our last supper.
See, it's my first order. Oh, look, one little question, I'll let you all go. Are you all together, or is it separate checks?
Please, go away. Go away.
Yay, yay, so you say. But one who sits amongst us has already betrayed me this night.
Who?
Who?
Who? Who can it be?
Judas! Do you want a beverage? Try the mulled wine. It's terrific.
No! Leave us alone!
Go! Go! Go!
Please. All right. Jesus.
Yes.
What?
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 Yes.
Jesus!
What?
Yes.
What?
You said what?
What?
Nothing.
Ah, Leonardo.
Buongiorno.
Just a sec.
It's all right. We ordered a group portrait.
Ah. Ah. Hey, baby. Yeah, but this is no good. All I got is a box. Okay. Everybody want to be in the picture? Get up and go to the other side of the table. Come on.
And of course, everybody gets up, moves across the other side of the table. They all take their positions.
Yeah. Mel Brooks crashes the photo or the painting.
Yeah, and he's holding the halo of Jesus around him. Gotta love it, man.
Mel Brooks is the bomb, man.
Oh yeah, and then of course here's Steve's favorite. I know. Let's see. There we go.
I hear you. A deaf man could hear you.
What?
Nothing. Gornish, forget it. Oh, Lord. Why have you chosen me? What would you have me do for you?
I shall give you my laws, and you shall take them unto the people.
Yes, Lord.
Comes back down from
Lord,
the mountain.
I shall give these laws unto thy people. Hear me. Oh, hear me. All pay heed. The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15. 10 commandments for all to obey.
Oh, so good. So good.
Just,
comedy legend, man.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the second one, though? Fifth World Part 2?
No, I didn't. I don't think I've seen it.
I haven't seen that yet.
It was on streaming. He comes back and does an actual Part 2.
Oh, wow. So,
last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
have to find out where it's streaming. It's like 6 episodes.
Is it good?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet either. I haven't had access to it yet.
I want to get them and download them and put it all together.
I had to look that up because I didn't even know they redid it. New one. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, yeah. Let me see if I can find that real quick, too. Let's see.
Talks amongst yourselves.
Well, yeah. History of the World Part 1 was just so many things in it, so many different things that people remember from it, and it's just like
it was an amazing movie.
Like, Cloris Leachman was just hysterical in it.
So they really did it. Oh, it's on Hulu?
Yeah, look, it's on Hulu right now.
Oh, I'm going to watch that when I get back later on tonight. I'm going to watch that at the house.
Let's see.
I didn't even know they had a part two. Like, that tells you.
Rolling.
Oh, wow. DeVito.
Oh, hello.
Who is this?
It's your mama.
If you're my mother, what is your last name?
Mel.
It's my mother. That confirms it.
Khan.
Amelia Earhart.
The Romanovs.
I am Sigmund Freud. Join me for my masturbates. Masterclass. What?
Who are you?
Some call me Jesus Christ, son of God.
Some call him broken corny.
My new book idea. The Kama Sutra from soup to nuts. If I'm not going slurp, 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 I'm eating soup.
Oh, wow.
Judas, you pissed on my feet. I know you hear me. You're going to blow your hands for 30 seconds and you're just not going to look at me?
Sorry, I only have big pieces of silver.
We are about to embark on the biggest campaign in the history of the world, part two.
Noah, you were supposed to get two of every animal.
I got two chihuahuas, two pekingeses, two pugs. Actually, I got three pugs. Don't tell God.
What ideas have you got for Shakespeare?
What if we do a play, but it's got music and singing?
People sing their feelings.
Our words. Will adorn me as together
we stand tall. Jack Black singing it.
Anyone else with a good idea?
Oh, they really did it now. Okay, I'm going to have to check that. I didn't even know they redid that. You know what? I hate musicals.
Really?
Can't get into them. I do music. I love music. I love doing acting. But putting them together, fucking can't stand it, man. I can't even get through watching them because when I'm watching, like, there are certain things that, okay, sometimes I can get by, but usually with a musical, it's like there'll be a real important scene and the dude is talking to the girl and he's about to let her know how much he cares about her. Then all of a sudden, it's a fucking song and they're dancing and I'm like, my mind is gone because that's not real. In my mind, like, for real, like, when I'm watching something, like, if I'm watching a film, it needs to be a film. I can't mix music in it like that because it takes the, because you already, what is it, the suspension of belief? Uh-huh. You already have to do that to an extent. And if it's a serious situation and all of a sudden this motherfucker starts singing, my brain is like, nope, suspension gone. They're singing. It's a done. Like, I can't do
it. How about the musicals that don't have a lot of dialogue that they're like, more like operas. They
like an Andrew Lloyd Webber type of a thing.
Jesus opera, Christ Superstar or
an opera type thing, yes. But like just La La Land, the musical, the movie like that, never seen it, don't want to, will never watch it.
Okay.
That's what popped in my mind when you were saying that.
Completely horrible. I will never watch it. We'll never watch it.
You'll hate
now,
that.
I watched years ago. In the early noughts, I watched Chicago with Renee Zellweger, Queen Latifah, yada, yada. Now, I like that, but I liked it more for certain characters, and I liked it more for John C. Reilly's character. He's the best character in the fucking show.
Man.
His song, he
Mr.
had
Celebane.
The
Mr.
Celebane.
Best fucking
Mr.
song
Celebane.
In
absolutely.
The movie. I love that.
Love it.
But I did, like... The whole movie in itself, I'm cool. I like that scene. I like certain things. But musicals, man, I just... Like, I went to see a production of Judas and the Technicolor Robe.
I mean, Joseph.
Joseph, my bad. Thank you.
Joseph.
But Joseph and the Technicolor Robe. They had a live orchestra. Really good performance.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep three times.
Really?
Because I just... Musicals, bro. They just don't, like... I don't know. They just don't get me. They just don't get me. And this one dude, he came out there, Lee Young Cat. He did this one song, and he was fucking dope. He was the best performer on stage. Wow. But I was just like, I had to make myself stay away. Because musicals, man, I don't know. Yeah. Again, I do music. I've had a band. I love stage work. I know how to put them together. But I fucking hate musicals. I can't stand it, man.
I think the ones that I don't care for are the older ones, like the Roger Hammerstein you know, like The Music Man or Carousel or Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Those are the ones I really don't care for.
I actually met the director of La La Land. Uh-huh. Not the director, the writer of La La Land. Like, mm-hmm. I met him. And I told him, I said, yeah, man, I'm sorry. Can't fucking stand musicals. And he was like, when I told him my background, he was like, okay, it makes sense why you don't like them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it does. Somebody finally understands. Yeah.
And they're okay with it.
Yeah, they're okay. He's like, nah, I get it, man. Like, the way I explained it to him, like, okay, I can see why it takes you out. Like, they're just not your thing. I don't disrespect them, like, fuck all of them. But
right.
Yeah, I just can't do it, man.
Yeah. Because it's not real life type of a thing or whatever. You got to lose yourself
it's
in
just,
that musical.
I'm trying to follow the story, man, and now this bitch is singing about how this happened, and this dude is singing this happened, and it's a fight, and these two people supposed to be fighting, but next thing you know, they're breaking out into a song. Get the fuck out of here.
Like, yeah, dancing like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I was kind of like that a little bit with when I was younger, I fell in love with the woman who played Evita when it came out in the 70s, mm-hmm. you know, late 70s, early 80s, whatever it was. And I'm just like, oh, wow, what a beautiful woman, you know? And so I've always wanted to go to it. Gotcha. So finally, my parents and Karen, my wife, for one of my birthdays, took me to go see it.
Oh, word.
I was so disappointed because I wasn't used to an Andrew Lloyd Webber production. Mm. Because it's kind of like an American opera, even though he's British. Because they're singing the whole storyline for
entire,
you.
Everything, yeah.
You know, it's not like Fiddler on the Roof or Singing in the Rain or whatever, you know.
No, they're singing the entire everything.
Yeah,
singing.
And I'm going, now I got to I can't get into it because now I got to freaking pay attention, you know. So by the time the film came out, I enjoyed it because I had already listened to the Broadway version and got to know the songs and understood everything or whatever. Then I got to enjoy the film.
Yeah, nah, you know? I just stick away from it, man. Anytime somebody, like one of my best friends out here, he just moved to Vegas, but one of my good friends, he went to school for musical theater. Loved musicals. Uh-huh. I would never watch one with him. I will never go to one with him. I'm sorry. I just can't do it, man. And I've tried. I've smoked a lot of weed before I went to one. Don't work.
Still
just,
can't do it.
Can't do it, man. I just...
Yeah, it was like me in The Matrix. I was even high. I'm like,
nope. Not happening.
Well done, sir.
All.
Well done, sir. Well done.
All right. Well, you know what? It's time for What's Trending. Well, if you were here this past Thursday in Southern California and you went to the Hollywood Bowl, you got to see a star-studded celebration for the late Jimmy Buffett. An eclectic group of performers and artists.
Huh? I forgot Jimmy Buffett passed.
Yeah.
Damn, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Word, okay.
An eclectic group of performers and artists gathered at the Hollywood Bowl this past Thursday to pay tribute to the iconic singer-songwriter. It was called Keep the Party Going, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett. Was a celebration of Buffett's life and career that had special guests including Paul McCartney, the Eagles, Snoop Dogg, Pitbull, Zac Brown, Jackson Brown, Kenny Chesney, Eric Church, Sheryl Crow, Jack Johnson, Jake Owen, the Coral Reefer Band, Dave Grohl, and John Bon Jovi.
Oh,
my man!
Yeah, Buffett will be missed. Yeah.
Yep. Now, Hollywood elites like Harrison Ford, Woody Harrelson, Jane Fonda, Will Arnett, and Judd Apatow are also singing along to the Margaritaville song, which was the grand finale with everybody out on stage.
I bet they had a huge pickup in business. Margaritaville?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, and they're talking about closing those down, too, because after his death.
Really?
Yep. It was a special night, not only for those in attendance, but also the artists paying their respects to their late friend, of course. Speaking of music, 2024 Coachella Valley Music Arts and Festival is going on this weekend. Kicked off yesterday with some of the biggest music names. Now, just how big are some of the names? Well, it actually reunited Orange County's favorite kids, No Doubt. I could tell that Lyric is so happy about this.
I am ecstatic.
Yeah, Gwen Stefani is reuniting with her iconic pop rock band at Coachella to perform on stage for the first time in nearly a decade. Lana Del Rey, Tyler, the Creator, and Dojo Cat will also be headlining this year's festival. Around 150 other fan favorite acts are also scheduled to perform, including Vampire Weekend, Blur, Sabrina Carpenter, John Batiste and Ice Spice. The event takes place over the two jam-packed weekends, which is this weekend, April 12th through the 14th, and next weekend, the 19th through the 21st, at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California. Of course, if you were under a rock this week, you probably don't know about this, but most of us do, that apparently we lost O.J. Simpson.
The juice is loose, man.
They can't find him?
Yep, they can't find him because apparently the former NFL star and broadcaster whose athletic achievements and fame were eclipsed by his 1995 trial in the brutal killings of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ron Goldman, died of cancer. His family announced this on Thursday. He was 76 years old.
Yep. Juice is gone.
OJ also went on trial again in 2007 for armed robbery, assault, and other charges after trying to allegedly get back stolen memorabilia from a sports dealer in Las Vegas. He was found guilty in 2008 on all 12 charges and sentenced to 33 years in prison with the possible parole after 9 years. OJ walked free from the Lovelock Correctional Center in North Nevada in 2017 after parole board granted him early release.
Yep.
What an awkward career, though, legacy to have overall.
I watched a documentary. Not a documentary. This dude was breaking down the OJ case, right? Mm-hmm. And he broke down the case, and he provided at the end a very interesting theory about who actually committed the murders.
Mm.
And it's a really good theory. It's not OJ.
My mom always felt like it might have been the son.
His oldest son?
Yeah.
That is the theory, yes. Because there are certain inconsistencies. And like, for example, one thing they pointed out, when they found Ron Goldman, he had bruises consistent not only on his body from the stabs, but he had bruises on his hands consistent with fighting, because dude was like a black belt. He was a trained martial artist. So he had bruises on him like he was actually fighting. But OJ, no bruises on him at all. The only thing he had was a cut. He had no bruises on him at all like he had been fighting.
Right.
And it was just, and evidently when they arrested OJ, when they actually picked him up, the very first question he asked was, where's my son? Like, he didn't ask about it. So he said, where's my son? And after they didn't have, his son wasn't even in the equation. And
right.
The end of that. But yeah, man, dude put a very interesting theory. And when you watch, it's like, it actually makes more sense that his son did it. Which means, like, the theory would be, if his son did it, then this dude spent the last 30 years being the most hated man in America to protect his son.
Yeah.
Which is crazy if that really happened. It's nuts, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember watching that on TV.
I read an article recently where that up until the last month of his death, every time anybody, friend, family member, even his kids came to visit him, they had to sign an NDA.
Yep. NDA, no phones, no video, no none. It's just, man.
Non-disclosure.
Yep.
Yeah. Weird.
But it's about time we're done with that situation now. Like, this is a part of our American history that, you know, now that OJ's gone, it can be like, all right, we can let that go now.
And to think it's been 30 years since that.
And he still controls the airwaves when he does something.
Yeah, like, no kidding.
OJ comes out, everyone, it will make the news.
Yeah. All righty. Rust Armor GoFundMe, it gets shut down, apparently. So, of course, we all know that Rust Armor, Hannah Gutierrez Reads, her family started a GoFundMe page, basically, to help her.
Legal fees, right?
For the legal fees and everything. But apparently, according to GoFundMe, it violated the company's rules against raising money for, quote, the legal defense of an alleged financial and violent crimes.
Oh, wow. So she's not allowed to get any.
So now she cannot get any money at all whatsoever.
Ooh.
And, of course, the 26-year-old Arizona woman faces up to 18 months in prison in her role in the accidental shooting death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the low-budget Western.
When you're the armorer, you're at fault.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what she tries to say, it's 100% her fault that girl died.
I've always said that from day one. Yeah.
We were taught in theater school, our stunt trainer, he does professional stunts all over Hollywood, and he first thing he did, he put, like, when we talk about gun safety, even with fake guns.
Yeah.
No, we show them joints like a real gun. When he brought a real gun, no, we're showing empty rounds. Like, we, no. So just the fact that it was a bullet even allowed to be in that gun and they were allowed to handle it like that. Then I read some of the stuff about how, like, how lax she was with rules around the set. Like, nah, man, it's your fault.
Well, and there was some stuff too that where I watched a video regarding the trial on the whole thing, and where basically she felt intimidated by Baldwin. But the thing is, you're there for safety.
Regardless of how Baldwin is, your job is to protect.
It's to protect, and if you didn't do your job right, that is on you.
Yeah, regardless.
Conversation over.
Yeah, yeah. Period. Take accountability.
Yeah,
accountability.
Damn, people that did research on that found that she had problems in past movies.
Yep, before.
About safety records and procedures and stuff being proper.
Yep.
Well, the whole thing, too, is that this was her first film, number one, to be an armorist. Number two, her father is a very famous armorist who's done thousands of films, but yet she never got trained by him.
Nope.
You know, it was just assumed or whatever because of the name. And, you know, and instead or whatever, you get, I mean, even I knew, I've done so many things too in the past. Like, I talked about it one time recently too, but I recently did a film. It was a post-Civil War film, like right after the Civil War. And I have to shoot my co-star. So luckily I had the proper guns for the proper firearm, which is what they call a cap and ball, which is what they used during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot put a real live round in it, as what we think of today as a live round.
It won't work.
Like, right. So, but I can put, I got to do everything I need to do, you know, grease the ball, whatever, put the wad, put the gunpowder in or whatever.
What was that first thing?
I ain't repeating it. Listen to the show. And the thing was that just to ensure safety and to ensure, I guess, a comfortableness with everybody, I had the director shoot it. I had one of our producers shoot the gun. My co-star shoot the gun. And then I shot it with them around me. You know, and go, this is what I'm going to do to create the blank. You know, kind of a thing.
It's, again, if the armorer's job is done the right way, there will never be a death from any firearm or any set. If anyone gets
there
shot
would
on
not
the set,
be a live round anywhere never.
On
anyhow.
Like, why are we now? Evidently, the supplier they got the rounds for, he was known to mix in live rounds with dummy rounds. Like, which again, if you know, he has a if you know he has a reputation for doing.
Why
that,
are you getting shit from
why
exactly?
The hell?
Again,
oh boy, this it just gets so deep. There's so many people that just
when you hear stuff like
up.
That, like even when you hear stuff. Stuff like that, okay, you knew it could potentially be a live round here, but you chose to do it anyway. That's your job. You're wrong. Like, that's conversation over.
Point. Yeah.
What the new kids say today, period.
Yeah. Exactly. So she's not getting anything to help her with her.
And she shouldn't. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
It. You're done.
All right. And Steve, this one's for you, buddy.
Okay.
Okay. Disney World and Disneyland have made a major change now.
Oh my gosh. Blue is now red.
Well, just about. Now, somebody who loves both theme parks and writes about them for a living, this person here wrote, getting banned from Disney World or Disneyland is literally the worst thing that anybody can ever imagine. A banning requires a pretty significant step of out of bounds, like being drunk in the park, abusing a cast member, or going to where you're not supposed to. But a lot of people have likely been committing an act at the grounds of permanent trespass from a Disney park. The resorts have made a major change to their disability access service.
Ooh.
And those who lie,
finally,
in order to gain access will be banned.
Oh.
Yeah.
About time.
People are, I remember working there, so many people like just made up stuff about their kid and you know, went to the office and said, oh, it's this, this, and this, and they'd get a handicap, and there's nothing really wrong with them.
Right, exactly. You know,
they just, or
they want to cut the line is what they want to do.
Yeah, they hire somebody to be in a wheelchair to get them into the background. That's there's all these things people do to finagle their way.
That's fucked up, man.
Yeah. Well, the Disability Access Service was designed for guests who have, for a variety of reasons, are difficult waiting in long lines at the attractions. The new system, which will begin at Walt Disney World on May 18th and Disneyland here on June 20th, will only be available to guests who are unable to wait in line specifically, quote, due to a developmental disability like autism or similar. Previously, access to services was more broad. In addition, a new system for verifying DAS eligibility is being put in place at Walt Disney World, which allows guests to do a video chat with a cast member before a visit or on the day of the visit. Disney Parks makes it very clear on the DAS website that if any statements made during the registration process are found to be false, the guests will be permanently banned from the resort. In addition, any annual passes held by the guest will be canceled and not refunded. Ooh. The threat of a ban isn't new, but it seems likely that the possibility of a ban may increase because abuse of the system is being a big reason for its changing.
Yeah, people take advantage of anything. Is it people that carry their service animal, you know, everywhere they go, some little dog that, you know, it's just a pet. But
yeah,
put a little vest on him, you know, it's my service animal.
You can get a certificate for a service
emotional
animal.
Emotional support dog.
You can get a certificate online for like $30.
Yeah.
For a support animal. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. So there you go, guys. That is what's trending.
That's very trendy.
All right.
It's like we're watching a film of a busy intersection in a city or something. Everybody's walking and driving.
It's busy work. Busy, like, it sounds like busy work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, today is Thomas Jefferson Day.
I thought you were going to say Kama Sutra Day. I was like, wait, oh, Thomas Jefferson.
Right, that's a hell of a leap. I get it. Right on, man.
Okay, yes, Thomas Jefferson Day. Ooh. That sounds cool.
Sounds exciting, sir.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So we thought that we would have an expert call us and basically let us know exactly the history of Thomas Jefferson and what he contributed to this great nation of ours.
Okay.
So So on the phone with us right now is Gabe Braxton, our Thomas Jefferson expert. Hello, Gabe.
Well, how are you?
Doing wonderful.
Well, as you know, Thomas Jefferson is one of the founding fathers to our country.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people really know some of the wonderful facts about this great man.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yes.
Well, you know what? Let's give you a little bit of music here, and you can tell us about it. So.
Well, as the story goes, he was born on April 13th, 1743.
Uh-huh.
Thomas Jefferson was a famous American statesman, lawyer, and diplomat, as one of the founding fathers of the United States of America. He is known for being one of the key figures in shaping the country as it exists before that orange asshole took over. First, Jefferson was...
You don't like him, huh? He don't like Warren Tassel.
What a mess. Jefferson was the third president of the United States right after Ben Franklin and Paul Revere and the Raiders. Not only was he one of...
No one said anything. Please continue.
Not only was he one of the writers of the Declaration of Independence, but... He also wrote Yank My Noodle, It's a Dandy. I love that song. And the ever popular Pop Goes My Weasel, which were big hits on the top 100 Telegraph song list.
They had a song. They had a Telegraph song list back then.
Yes. There was a lot of music in those days. A lot of it was similar, but there was a lot of it.
He sounded like he was too short, like Two Live Crew way back in the wow. Okay, continue, sir, please.
Oh, okay. Not only. Oh, wait. I read that. Perhaps a little.
Water?
Water.
Lubrication. Yeah, lubrication. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds so good.
Nectar of the gods. Okay. Let's see. He was also the first Secretary of State not to have a secretary because it was under the Washington presidency and women didn't mean shit then.
Jesus.
Oh.
Now,
oh.
He founded the University of Virginia back in 1819 and believed that education could be made available to all citizens of all backgrounds, unless, of course, you were one of his slaves and you have no chance in hell.
Oh, he did own a lot of slaves, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Oh, yes, he did. Now, he nearly doubled the size of the United States by buying the Louisiana Territory in 1803 from France. Now,
how much did he pay for that, sir? Any idea?
Like $3 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really cheap.
Huh.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was as ridiculous as Alaska.
Yeah,
Alaska.
We robbed them people.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, well, you know, back in 1819, he founded the University of Virginia.
Yes.
He believed that education could be made available to all citizens of all backgrounds, unless, of course. It sounds familiar.
It does. It does.
I've heard this.
So you said he invented the University of Virginia?
Yeah. Back in 1819, he believed in education.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it was a very important topic.
Sounds like we needed education now.
Yeah, for real. Huh.
And,
like reading.
Oh, here it is. I've got my thoughts straight now.
Good night.
I don't. Okay. Now, I mentioned something about him doubling the size of the
Louisiana
territory, in which he also brought French fries to the territory, which are now served at all Popeye's chicken restaurants. Oh, God, I love that. Chicken at Popeye's.
Yeah, Louisiana.
So he brought the Louisiana Purchase, created Right. University of Virginia, and blessed America with French fries.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a hell of a motherfucker, man. And Popeye's chicken.
Yeah.
Wow.
That Louisiana recipe. Now then, Jefferson was also known for loving animals. He bred multiple breeds of dogs, Okay, I should have read this before I... Such and also kept multiple breeds of dogs, and also kept horses and other livestock. Well, that sounded better. He was especially fond of his sheep. He kept a really close eye on all of his sheep.
I love Larry's face right now.
He liked to face the sheep off of a cliff. You know, a good sheep will fight back.
Yeah.
And lastly,
I just didn't know this stuff about Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, yes, there are
some shit stories. I don't know, man. Yeah.
Jefferson was a major fan of ice cream. Mm-hmm. He served the treat at White House dinners and even built his own ice cream stand at his estate called Five Flavors. Later, he would add 26 more and rename the stand. Now, it's thought that he experimented with all kinds of flavors, like, who cut down my cherry tree? the Rootin' Tootin' Revolution, and the popular Very Berry Cotton Candy Constitution.
What year was this? What year was this, sir? 1800?
This was somewhere in the 1800s.
Oh, so he created ice cream before the refrigerator.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Had to eat it quick.
Had to eat it real quick. It's amazing, man.
Otherwise, it was just cream.
Wow, that's otherwise, it was just some cream. Flavored cream.
You had to go to where the ice cream was.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there you have it. A lot of unknown, important facts about Mr. Thomas Jefferson.
Well, thank you, Gay. We really appreciate you calling in.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, appreciate the info.
Yeah. All right, have a good day, Gabe. Take care.
Gabe really knows his shit, man.
Man, yeah, he does. Very informative.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was some facts I had no idea about. Hey,
he's one of the smartest men I've ever encountered.
Man. Dude created ice cream like 150 years before, like 100 years before the refrigerator. That's amazing. That's incredible. And he created the University of Virginia and French fries. Like, that's...
Well, he brought French fries.
He brought French fries.
He's
a hero, man.
He is. Yeah.
Hence the music.
There you go. Well, you know, I was over in Walmart the other day, and I just got a kick. I was looking for gifts for a friend of mine, actually his son, because it was his birthday. And I was just trying to find like a simple game, basically.
Okay.
All right. So I want to see if you guys think these are real games or not.
Okay.
Grocery go-karts.
Yes. 100%.
100%?
Yeah, you play that in the grocery store with the go-karts, yes.
Okay.
With the shopping cart, absolutely. I've done that.
You're right. This is an actual game.
Yeah.
It's an actual game.
I've actually played it in real life, but I didn't know they came up with a game.
Yeah, board game. These are all board games.
Okay.
All right.
Well, then who would play them?
Kids.
I guess they don't get bored easily.
Yeah,
you come
so.
From the South, where my time. Yeah, trust me, they're playing the shit out of stuff like that. Laying in this dude. Yeah.
Okay, here's another here. Wild moose chase.
Wild what?
Moose chase.
I think that's a game. Sounds like a good game.
Sounds like a good game.
Yeah. We'll say no.
You say no. It is. Wild moose chase is a game.
There's a moose loose.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right. Drink this or that.
Drink this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all supposed to be kid games?
Yeah.
Fuck it, why not? Yeah.
I don't know. That didn't sound like a...
like
I
a
say
game.
No.
You're right. It's no. It's not. It's not a real game. Whew. Yeah. Chicken poo bingo.
That's so stupid. It's got to be real.
Yeah, I agree. It's got to be real.
Yeah, it is.
Little kids.
And once again, you can get these at Walmart.
Chicken poo 100% bingo.
For little kids. Yeah,
chicken absolutely. Poo bingo.
Oh, my
God. That's actually pretty funny.
And keep it in line with the poo theme. Monkey see, monkey poo.
No.
I mean, again, it sounds so stupid. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, it is a real game. Monkey see, monkey poo.
What the fuck would you...
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. Yeah. Go ahead, but this is ridiculous.
I know. This is...
This is ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Cow pie catapults.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It's an actual game. Yep.
They know that.
Keep
my mouth closed.
Well, that's just it, you know. And that's only like 19, 20. What's it? How much is it? 19 what? 1982.
That's ridiculous.
At Walmart.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, that's the price?
That's the price, yeah. Oh, monkey see, monkey poo is $20.82.
These are all $20 games.
Chicken poo bingo. Looks like that one is on sale right now for $10.97. So you can
discounted.
discounted. Wild moose chase was $12.97, And Grocery Go-Karts was 1982 as well. So, here we go. I need a new butt. Do you think that's a game?
No.
I'm going to say no, but it probably is.
That can't be a game.
It is.
I need a new butt is a game that you can pick up at Walmart.
You go. Just take it away.
That's, I need a new butt.
I would have never played a game like that when I was little. I'm sorry. I'm okay.
I need a new butt.
Is that like a another type of operation game?
Well, here's the funny thing, though, is that it was inspired by the best-selling book.
I need a new butt. That was a book. Wow.
I need a new butt.
Kids like, hey, man, you know what? Right on.
And I love the fact here that, you know, it looks like it's like one of those, you know, like like when you play Sorry, it already has like the dice in the bubble it or whatever.
But still, like,
the thing is, it says here, try me, push the butt.
Yeah, you push it down.
You know, to get a new butt.
I'm okay, man. It's wow.
So, okay.
Some adult named that.
The cow jumped over the moon.
Yes.
No.
Seriously?
Not a real game. Just made off the top of my head right now.
Wow.
But how about pigs on trampolines?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, pigs on trampolines is a game that you can find at Walmart.
I'm noticing the more absurd it is, the more likely it is to be.
And that one is 2082.
Yeah, the more absurd it is, the more likely it is a real game.
Yeah. Now, this one, I'm not too sure exactly what the game is about, but it's called Soggy Doggy.
Soggy Doggy?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Well, I say yes because you're trying to look it up or something.
I think he's faking us. I think that's
Is he faking us out by doing that?
I think that's a fake. It's not a real game.
They think I'm actually looking at
it. You can actually get it at Walmart for $21.92. Soggy Doggy. It's about giving a dog a bath.
How
just,
fun.
Why don't you just go give a dog a bath for real? You just go
and call it Soggy Doggy. Yeah. So, okay, just a few more, guys. Let's see here.
Please.
So, we all heard of, obviously, of Monopoly.
Of course.
But how about Drinkopoly?
Oh, I'm sure that's a game.
I'm going to say
I've played that game.
That sounds like an adult game, yes.
We've played that numerous played times.
Yes, I agree, but not as a child.
Yeah.
It is Drinkopoly. It is Drinkopoly. A real game.
Okay, that's a real game. That's a game for adults, though.
Yeah, it's a game for the blurriest game ever.
Yeah, I would agree.
For $29.97, you can play Holy Drinkopoly.
Fuck. $30 for Drinkopoly.
What about Shot Roulette?
Yep.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's a real game, right?
Yep, it's a real game. Shot Roulette for $14.88, again, at Walmart.
How are these real games?
I know. That's why I took pictures.
That's crazy, yo.
We'll post these, too, on our Facebook page. And last but not least, Karen.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
100%. That is a real game. Yes, for $21.97, you can buy.
It doesn't have a white woman on the cover, does it?
No, it does. Yeah, it's a blonde white woman with glasses. On it. I don't know if it's glasses.
Heavy set.
Let's see here.
That's sad. We really took that name and actually made a game. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, Karen. Yeah,
game of a 1-star review.
Right yeah. There. There you go, Karen.
Karen.
Yeah, so, that's crazy.
I like that cartoon picture. Of the woman, just
she looks like a character. Like,
thank God, mine's a redhead. That's all I can say. So, all right.
Okay.
So let's see what else we got left right now.
Words.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got time. We got time for this. So I saw this the other day, and I'm just going. And I thought, you know, this would actually even be good for a drunk show because we got our first drunk show coming up on May 4th. But these are the most hard to pronounce words in the English language.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of them.
And these are just, yeah.
One of them I'd heard before.
Which one?
Anti-establishmentarianism. I've been saying,
dude.
That, yeah, I know how to pronounce that. I've known that word for like 20-25 years. I heard it somewhere. It's like that's actually the longest word in the English language.
Yeah, when you're a kid, that's the thing. That's the word. Everybody goes, ooh, that's the word.
Yep, anti-disestablishmentarianism. Yep,
dude, that was just like holy cow. I mean, that was kind of a thing. Yeah,
excellent. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. Can you do the next one below that one? Now, while he's thinking about it, I'm going to spell it because this is how long it is. It's close to the anti-establishmentarianism thing that he just said. See, I can't even say it right. It's spelled F-L-O-C-C. You guys are going to need a pen to write this down. I-N-A-U... C-I-N-I-H-I-L-I-P-I-L-I-F-I-C-A-T-I-O-N.
Yeah, y'all gotta look that shit up. That's,
how many syllables?
13.
Yeah.
That's,
Folks, the NASA pillification.
Yeah.
I could probably say that last part, the pillification.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, no.
Yeah. That
part's like Hawaiian.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, some of these, even like the ones, ignominious?
Ignominious. I've heard that one before. Schadenfreude at the bottom. I've heard that before.
Really? Schadenfreude?
Yeah, Schadenfreude. I've heard that before. Anathema, the top one. I've heard that one before. Then anti-establishment. I heard that one before. Ignominious. No, I don't know what that is. I know what ignominious is. Yeah, but I don't know what ignominious is.
How do you pronounce it, Steve?
Ignominious.
Ignominious?
I've never heard ignominious before. Yeah, no, that's, you know, I'm cool, bro. I know which words I know. I know which words I know.
Anemone. That's from Finding Nemo. With Franz like you, who needs an enemy?
Right on, sir. Let's say, ba-doom.
There's one here that it almost sounds like I'm speaking Hebrew. Otorai no lung ringu lorila. Or logical.
Logical.
Otorino laryngological. Otorino laryngological. Otorino laryngological. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that
is. That sounds medical.
Yo, 100%. All this shit is medical, bro. Like, the only thing that ain't medical, the third one, I just don't feel like saying it all the way over again. That's not medical. Schadenfreude is, I don't think that's medical. I think that's just a term, but I don't think that's medical. And ignominious, that's not medical.
Ignominious.
Yeah, that's not
what
medical.
What we've got here is... failure to communicate.
Like a motherfucker. Like a motherfucker. Yeah, that's cool. I'm good, bro. We cool.
I mean, some of these words, I'm like, how would you even use these in a sentence, though?
You wouldn't.
Unless I used one of them already.
Well, true. You actually did.
I'd have to look what these mean, man. Like most of these, unless you're just having a huge IQ conversation and that word is specific to what you're talking about, you're not going to be saying that shit like that.
I was listening to this guy the other night regarding the OJ trial. And the way he was speaking was almost a cross between a Southern preacher and Oh God, who is the fight promoter? Don King.
Don King.
Don King.
Yeah.
He sounded like a cross between those two. You know, and I'm just like, because the way he was describing the trial, you know, and everything, and I'm just like, wow, I almost feel like he's coming up with his own words, but I know he's not because he was speaking very elegantly. But the way he emphasized certain syllables, it sounded like a preacher-esque kind of a thing. You know, just like, wow, okay. You know, I'm like, okay.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm gonna say these two, whatever, and post these up also, so that way we can see if you guys can figure out how in the hell to pronounce some of these words. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our next segment, if I can find the damn thing. I need my glasses, man. That's what I need right now.
You want to borrow mine?
No, I'm all right. But thank you, though, Steve. But here we go. What's news?
What's news, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's news, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
You know, Tom Jones is actually one of those performers that women really did take off their underwear and throw it to him.
Oh, yeah.
That's
actually happened. Wow.
Yeah.
Can imagine getting hit with panties on stage. That'd be crazy.
I mean, that's pretty popular with the ladies, you know. They start
and ladies start throwing their panties, it's a done deal, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All bets is off at that point, man.
And I left my mic off.
All right. There we go. Mm-mm. Love it. All right. Who's going first?
So a woman developed a permanent blind spot. Now, this week, there was a super rare total solar eclipse. Everybody knows about it.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys watch it?
Over 30 million people in its path of totality. My brothers were actually in a direct sight.
Yeah, because it went across Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're in New York.
Oh,
it went through Arkansas, but in New York, they were actually like directly.
Well, and, I was thinking about you because it went through Arkansas.
I appreciate it.
And your family, so.
So, though exciting, solar eclipses are dangerous to those without proper eye protection. No one knows that better than Bridget Kyrie Montague.
What did she do?
Who went viral on TikTok after developing blind spots from looking at a solar eclipse with her bare eyes.
Oh, you.
In 2017, I was in Southern California when the solar eclipse happened, she told BuzzFeed. I was aware that you shouldn't look at the solar eclipse for too long without the glasses, but they were all sold out in my general area, and I was genuinely curious what it would look like staring at it for a couple of seconds.
Really?
In the video, she explained she closed her right eye and stared at the stump for like a good 15 seconds and didn't think anything of it. You know, not an issue. The very next day, she woke up and she said, and I woke up on what I think is my right side, and I opened up my left eye to read on my phone, and I couldn't read every other word. There was like a blind spot on every other word I was reading. I couldn't see things, and I said, oh my God, no. I started driving to the eye doctor and couldn't see the signs. It took about 24 hours for the blind spot to settle in, and it's been with me to this day. I wear prescribed sunglasses to help ease the strain and headache from my left eye. You know what happened? When she looked at that, the blind spots that burned away her cornea. So
yeah.
She no longer had. I was reading a story the other day. This girl, she went blind from looking at an eclipse like that. She didn't think of it and had a ring in her eyes, and then, you know, 3 days later, was blind. That was it, like, permanently. Like, wow, yo.
So all you gotta do, you know, is just tell these people.
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
Yep, stop looking at this shit, man. It said don't look at
it. And they tell you all the damn news.
Well, you know, humans are, we are very stupid people, so, you know.
No kidding, good God.
Ain't no way in hell.
Well, this one's a good one here. I got it. I kind of laughed at it, but then you think about it going, ooh. Well, a middle school teacher faces certain charges now. Middle school.
Mm.
Not high school, not college, not elementary.
Middle school.
So Angel Footman, a 23-year-old teacher at Griffin Middle School. Thank God it's in Tallahassee, Florida. Is facing charges for allegedly organizing a fight club in her classroom.
Boys fighting boys?
Well, it doesn't say here. School officials were shown a video of an alleged fight that took place between March 22nd and March 23rd. Footman is facing four counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Reports state that several sixth-grade girls told detectives that they participated in planned fights during school hours, and they alleged they were invited back for additional fights. The rules of the alleged fights were 30 seconds, no screaming, no yelling, no phones. Footman is denying that she organized the fights. Footman told investigators she did not organize the fights in any way, but failed to call for help or take quick action to stop the altercations or report them to administrators, according to the court documents. Now she faces four counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Footman set for arraignment on May 4th.
In my day,
Fight Club,
in
man.
My day, they weird. In my day, they could have just got away with it, but you can't do that now.
Yeah.
You can't do that now. That's and you shouldn't be doing that at school anyway.
What kind of woman who's a teacher, I mean, what is this going on that she would imagine even doing that?
Yeah.
Is that them fighting? Well, yeah.
Ah, it's bizarre. I mean, I hate to be one way or the other, but, you know, if it's a male teacher, you go, well, you know, he's just being an asshole, you know.
But a female teacher.
Female, wow, that's man.
Different. Yeah, that's different.
Okay, well, I've got some sort of funny political shit going here.
Okay.
And it involves our illustrious Donald Trump and his lawyers. So, you know, 2 days, Monday.
Yeah.
It's a big day.
Yeah.
And a criminal trial starts.
First one.
In New York. And
this is the hush money one, right?
Yeah, the hush money trial from when he paid off a...
Stormy Daniels, yeah.
Stormy Daniels, yeah. So, anyway, it's not going well for the former president. Trump's attorneys, now they tried to use this as a slowdown tactic. Trump's attorneys tried to subpoena Jeremy Rosenberg, who had worked in the Manhattan District Attorney's office. Rosenberg wrote back that he didn't know what files they were talking about. He did try to call them, but the number they provided was disconnected. So there's one thing, you know, that, yeah, they went after him.
Well, but we tried to call him, but...
Yeah, the phone number is disconnected. After not getting the files they wanted, they then complained to the court that Rosenberg was flippant and dismissive when he said he had none of the documents they wanted.
Okay.
Well, it turns out... there was a reason he didn't have the documents. They had subpoenaed the wrong Jeremy Rosenberg.
Of course. You mean there's two Jeremy Rosenbergs in New York City?
Isn't that weird?
Who would have thought?
Shit.
Oh, man.
Surprise! Well,
now, here's the sort of an ironic kicker to the whole story. Trump's attorneys sent Rosenberg $15 to help him send the paperwork they were requesting. But Rosenberg wrote back to the attorneys, I'm going to keep the $15.
Yeah, that's tax. That's tax for disturbing me.
Oh, my God.
I'm actually with that. I ain't mad at him at all.
How in the world could you not get it to the right person? How do you screw that up?
Everybody that has worked with Trump in the past, you know, so many of them are like just screwed up their lives.
Common sense is
crazy.
Not common.
I mean, he's got one lawyer that just this week quit and is thinking about turning state's evidence. So,
wow.
Who knows?
It's crazy.
Who knows?
Well, you know, and I know there was rumors or whatever of them talking about where as a last tactic, whatever, he may fire all of his attorneys so that way to delay the case. But what people don't realize is that that may not work at all because the judge has to approve that.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, yep. And say, okay, fine, you're changing counsel. We'll delay it so you can find new counsel.
Yeah.
And in like in this, whatever, if it's denied, they still have to go through the whole thing because they prepared all this time for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, he's done a lot of things
going to happen
similar
regardless.
To that.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's just how much longer he going
to
delay it.
Try to delay it.
Yeah, it's coming.
I just can't believe that they sent it to the wrong person, though. I mean, gee-many crickets.
Ah, well, you know, I'm glad I don't have a lawyer.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Oh, man. All right. Well, there you go. That is what's new.
What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
And that's the show for you guys.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Good to see
Absolutely,
you,
bro. Appreciate
and I know, it. I know when I've been had.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, baby. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Exit Instagram, yourweeklydose1. If you want to email us, yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Also, you know, look us up, Sketchy Budget Entertainment, everywhere. You can Google us, you'll find us. Get one of them raffle tickets, win that Shaq jersey.
Absolutely. It's an official Shaq jersey.
Yes, sir, with an autograph on it. Yes, sir.
There you go. And Steve?
I am on Facebook.
Yes, you're on.
But I don't ever interact with it.
So don't bother him, people.
You know, there's a basic
just leave him alone.
There, but
leave him alone.
I don't take pictures of my breakfast. And
but now that you. Now that the whole poking thing is back on Facebook, you can poke Steve.
I just don't poke that.
Yeah. not since his 50s.
Oh, grasshopper, you speak the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And if you guys want to find me on any social media, simply Sean R. Unplug. That's where I can be found. You can check it out. All right, guys, have a good weekend. Be good to each other, and we'll catch you next week. And you know what? Next week might be a little bit more fun because it's 420.
Okay, then we can work that out.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of things to work out, baby.
It's gonna be a good show.
I might crash your show.
Come on over, buddy.
Yeah, it,
absolutely.
Y'all have a good week, y'all.
All right, take care, guys. Be good to each other.
Stay magical, world. Believe you're dragging that ball and chain. Jesus, what did I do to deserve this life? Yes, I do, Miss Preacher. I take her to be my future ex-wife. I pray, please, dear Jesus, what did I do to deserve this life? Yes, I do.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.